Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. SG Extra, only on Money FM 89.3.
From Apple's Siri to self-driving cars, artificial intelligence indeed is progressing rapidly, isn't it? While science fiction often portrays AI as robots with human-like characteristics, AI can encompass anything from Google's search algorithms to IBM's autonomous weapons. But what will this rapid adoption of AI really mean for us in the future? Dr. Anton Ravindran, he's the author of a new book entitled Will AI Dictate the Future? And he's been talking about this issue more and more lately. Hey, Dr. Anton, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This is indeed a topic that I know interests many people, not just tech geeks, but users and business people as well, of course. So the thing is, you've been in the IT industry for nearly three decades. You've worked for companies such as IBM, Sun Microsystems, and then you ventured into entrepreneurship. Clearly, your experience has shaped the book. But it was Stephen Hawking who once said, right, that artificial intelligence will either be the best or the worst thing to happen to humanity. And we do not know yet which, he said. At this point, though, Dr. Anton, what have you found out through your experience and research? Are you any closer to a conclusion?
Thanks again. With regards to my previous involvement with Sun, IBM, and CIET, but my career is also influenced by my association with the academia. Now, with regards to writing the book, my interest is largely because I've seen the advances that have been unfolding over the last two, three decades, but particularly in the last 5 years. So in the last 5 years, there has been an explosive growth from an AI perspective. And that growth is largely driven by two things. Particularly, it's because of the growing penetration of mobile phones globally. As we all know, that there is about 6.5 billion mobile phones, so connected smart devices, I must emphasize, smartphones, which is about 84% of the world's population. This generates enormous amount of data. Just to put things in perspective, in the last 3 years alone, it has doubled the amount of data collected from 32 zettabytes to some 64 zettabytes, and it's expected to reach 200 zettabytes by 2025. Now, think about it. Just about 10 years ago, it was only just 2 zettabytes. Secondly, the other thing that is driving the AI revolution is also the enormous growth, exponential growth, in terms of computing power. You know, in the last five decades, the computing power, CPU, of processing of computers has actually grown by a trillion fold. This is phenomenal. For instance, for nearly 50 years ago, a computer chip could only hold about 65 transistors. Today, it can hold millions of transistors in the same chip.
Okay, so Dr. Anton, considering all of this, I think a lot of people would agree that they are also aware of all the advances that you've been talking about, maybe not in terms of the details, but it's quite apparent how all of this has changed the way we live and work, right? So let's go back to that question. There are downsides to AI as well, and there are upsides. It's good and bad. In terms of how one could maybe think about these issues, what exactly does the book offer?
Well, the book addresses both the downside and the upside. The book covers the various industries. The book covers about the impact of AI on legal, AI on finance, AI on healthcare, AI on logistics, AI and mobility. In addition to that, it also addresses two key elements that is important for us to fully leverage from AI, that is the ethics of AI and cybersecurity. Now, the question is about what's the downside and upside. It's obviously phenomenal. If you look at healthcare, let me take healthcare as an example. Today, we can detect cancers such as prostate cancer, skin cancer, breast cancer, gastric cancer in split seconds. In Singapore, we have developed applications, particularly for diabetes patients, to diagnose diabetes by just merely looking at a retina scan. And these applications can detect a diabetes within split seconds with some 90% level of accuracy. So that's from a healthcare perspective. Healthcare is transforming. It's a game changer in the healthcare industry. Why do I say that? We are moving towards something that would be preventive care, particularly for elderly. If you look at the global population, and in Singapore, it's growing rapidly. The number of people over 60 in the world is going to reach about 2.1 billion in about 10 years from now. That requires enormous healthcare support systems.
Can you illustrate for us very quickly, how AI is of use in terms of helping with the problems of an aging population, in terms of solving some of those problems?
The best way I could answer that is in two things. One, early diagnosis of any most of the diseases, particularly cancer I just mentioned. One, even Alzheimer's, it's an illness that is not easy to detect. But today, because of AI, we can detect 6 years ahead of time before even a general physician could. Secondly, for elderly, the social innovation, by leveraging from AI, we can do many things. Most of the elderly live alone at home, away from the children. We can use geolocation features to be in touch with the elderly all the time by giving them the autonomy and safety. Secondly, these elderly are now beginning to be given devices that could get them engaged with the other elderly in the community all the time.
Dr. Anton, this section of the book really stood out for me. The section on self-awareness AI. This is about robots with human intelligence and consciousness. And I think this would interest a lot of people who've watched enough doomsday and dystopian movies. But tell me more about this. Put this in perspective for us, the possibilities and how to cope with various scenarios.
I think that leads to the question, what is really AI? There are three different types of AI, as the definition goes. What we have achieved so far is known as artificial narrow intelligence. Artificial narrow intelligence, what we have achieved so far is speech recognition, image recognition, and translation of languages. But AI, to become like human, it also got to have the awareness, the semblance of awareness. It got to have emotions. That is what self-awareness is about. And also the last mile of AI reaching to be artificial superintelligence is when AI can begin to relearn and learn by itself. Then at that point, AI could become as good as a human being in all senses of a human.
So this does then raise a lot of ethical questions, right? What sort of insights can you lend to that discussion about ethics and AI and the downsides?
From an ethical perspective, we already see issues such as misinformation, deep fake information, that's one of them. Secondly, personal and individual liberties are being attacked through misuse and abuse of AI. It's not because of AI, it's because of misuse and abuse of AI. And the other thing is, it's far more profound and dangerous, is attacking infrastructure such as national grid, power supplies, water lines, water supplies, supply chains. So one could abuse AI to attack our power supply and our water supply and our supply chain. And the last point is, of course, what is rampant today is phishing and ransomware. From an ethical, legal perspective, is because of abuse.
There are also other practical issues, right? Legal questions. For example, if an AI-powered autonomous car collides with a pedestrian and kills him or her, who is liable? So many questions that I know other researchers are also looking into. What can people do at this point in order to prepare for all of this and to safeguard societies when it comes to some of the pitfalls of AI?
What is needed is legal frameworks. I think it's unfolding as we speak. You raised a very interesting question, and I may add that even insurance policies may change tomorrow, because autonomous vehicles, who is liable, responsible for an accident? Maybe it's a manufacturer. Maybe the person who owns the car. But that is all regulatory and policy work, which is actually being explored as we speak.
Let's talk about that in the context of Singapore. I mean, just recently, Josephine Teo, Minister for Communications and Information, who was speaking at the World Economic Forum, said that there is no playbook to copy and adapt from when it comes to regulating this sort of thing. She also did launch an AI testing toolkit, though, and invited firms to use it to demonstrate to their customers and other stakeholders that their AI systems are accountable, transparent, and that they are safe. So considering this, how exactly would you describe Singapore's progress in this smart nation journey?
We have been one of the pioneers in this space. Singapore was the first in the region and probably globally to set up the AI governance framework, which actually stipulates the guidelines for ethical use of AI. So we have, yes, I agree that there is no previous history or blueprint for us to map to, and we have to create as AI unfolds and progresses. But we are on the right track. In fact, the framework is in version 2, I think. We are beginning to set up frameworks industry by industry for ethical use of AI. So we have made substantial progress, in relatively speaking, to many other countries. Secondly, education and awareness is equally important, and Singapore is doing a lot on that front, from both training and awareness perspective. And shows like this, books like this, events like this creates greater awareness. Awareness is paramount.
Now, Dr. Anton, I would like to return to the very first thing we talked about when Stephen Hawking said AI will either be the best or worst thing to happen to humanity, but we do not know yet which. To what extent have you come to conclusions about this point as you've done your research and written this book?
The best way I could answer that is to come back to what I said earlier, that we are at the stage of AI. We have not got to a stage. Artificial intelligence has not got to a stage where it could have self-awareness and self-learning capabilities. The self-learning capabilities it has is limited, number one. Number two, AI to perform, it all depends on the data that we feed in and also the algorithms that we develop. So if AI had to do something that is dangerous or profoundly will affect a human being or an organization or even society, still lies within the hands of the people who develop these applications. But we have not got to a stage where AI can self-learn and be aware of itself. We haven't gotten to that stage. So The jury is still out on that. That sometimes is considered an alarmist view, and I don't think, you know, if my reading and my research, we are at least 3-4 decades away, at least, to achieve that level of AI intelligence.
And hopefully when the people of that era get to that, they'll know how to put in place certain controls and certain parameters so that the machines don't end up taking over the world.
Well, machines are created to empower human beings. And it is, as of now, all research indicates that it is in the hands of us to decide how much intelligence it should go into a machine.
Thank you very much for that. Dr. Anton Ravindran, author of a new book called Will AI Dictate the Future? It's quite a good read, so pick it up if you can. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Anton, on Money FM 89.3. You stay safe and take care, yeah?
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.